The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, everybody. It's 9 o'clock if you're on the West Coast, but it's a little afternoon here on the East Coast. And by a show of hands, which of course I can't see, how many of you are tired of winter? I'm looking out the window here. It's snow and slush. And like I mentioned last week, I just can't figure out how to control this weather. But we're here again today to talk about things we can control, namely our futures, our destiny, and our success. So welcome to another episode of Step Up and Play Big with me, Chris Ruisi. We got another great show today and a very special guest and a good friend, Mr. Stephen Lowy. And we're going to be talking about generational business planning, leadership in a family business, and what it takes to become a successful serial entrepreneur. Now, as I mention every week, and you'll hear on the commercials as we go along, I encourage you all to call in if you have a question. And as I said before, if you're a little bashful about that, drop me an email at chris@chrisruisi.com. And the telephone number, if you do wish to call in, is 1-866-472-5790. Now, Stephen Lowy, who is CEO of Lowy's Moving Services, has more than 30 years of experience in directing his office and industrial relocation company. He's led his company through survival, turnaround, and growth modes, and his additional accomplishments include Chief Executive Officer of Halo Network Management, partner at a real estate development company, a partner in Rebounds Basketball, the largest basketball training facility in New Jersey, Grad Moments, which is a company that produces personal images on diplomas and certificates, Turf Trainers, which was an indoor turf sport facility, and he's involved in a new business called Real Game, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later on. He holds a BS degree in public administration from the University of Arizona. He is a member of the foundation board for the Jersey Shore Medical Center. As we'll find out, most successful entrepreneurs have a very strong community involvement. He's on the board of directors of Lattison Networks, the Holocaust, Genocide, and Human Rights Center at Brookdale Community College. As I mentioned, he's a good friend. We met back in the 80s when Stephen's company relocated my company from New York City to a suburban New Jersey location. Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Chris, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction and the opportunity to speak with you today. But I do have to point out, that I'm only half the equation. I have an identical twin brother, Keith, who I've worked with for over 40 years. And, you know, whether it be on the trucks or startups, we share the same passion for, you know, innovation and drive and businesses. And there's also so many support, you know, people throughout the years that have helped, you know, us forge our success in business. But, you and I go way back.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to talk about Keith. It's always good to talk about him since he won't be on the phone with us, so we can have some fun with that. Yes, they are identical twins, and I can only imagine what they did growing up. And they just celebrated, I'm going to tell everybody, their 55th birthday, or as their birthday cake said, happy 110 years old. Stephen, tell us about Lowy's Moving Service. You guys started in 1924. It's a tough business. Business from many perspectives. So what makes it successful?
Well, my grandfather started us out in 1924, and he came actually over from Hungary. And the way the business started was he landed in New York City, came down to Asbury Park, and he was transferring bags from the rail station to people's homes. And and thought that, wow, this could be interesting. I could get a business going, and bought a truck and started moving, you know, people's belongings from the trains over to their houses and to their apartments. And, you know, way back in the day, that's the way he started. And then my dad got involved probably about 30 years after that. And so they both were working together, and my father actually got more into the rigging end of it, and they started doing some commercial work besides, you know, residential relocations. And then my twin brother and I got involved 30 years after that, I guess. And we really took the business to a whole nother level as far as, you know, commercial moving and residential moving. So, you know, every generation seemed to just build off the next. And, you know, I will tell you that our success is definitely in diversity. We do many different things in this industry, not just, you know, a residential move. There's storage. There's, like I said, commercial relocations. There's rigging. There's archiving. There's so many different things, you know, besides the residential move that you have to do to be successful in business. I mean, that's really the key, is diversification.
All right. Well, let's talk about generational business planning, so to speak. Now, you and your brother Keith are third generation leaders. Now, how were you prepared for this role? The both of you.
No one prepared. In fact, Chris, my brother and I swore that we wouldn't even go into our father's business. We didn't. We didn't think we'd be doing this. You know, we graduated college. Actually, the way I got in, I graduated college from the University of Arizona, and my major was in healthcare administration, and the field was saturated. And I basically my dad offered me a job in sales. And I like to say I was smart enough to take it back then.
Okay.
And my brother Keith, he was I call him a Rhodes Scholar. He went to three colleges. you know, was graduate as soon as you can, son, and come on home. But he did, and you know, he graduated, and then we were all in the business, and then we were departmentalized. I was in sales, he was in operations, my brother was in the procurement end of it as well. So you know, no one really taught us about succeeding, you know, to the next generation. I mean, we followed my dad's lead as much as we could, and my grandfather. I mean, we're fortunate enough, you know, that in fact, my dad's still alive. My grandfather lived a pretty long time, and so they taught us something that I don't see a lot out there anymore, which is, you know, hard work. And
okay.
You know, that's really what it takes. Is you got to work hard, and you can achieve anything. And both my grandfather and my dad, you know, exemplified that work ethic. So, you know, we have a real strong work ethic, I'll tell you that. If something fails, it's usually because we let it fail.
Okay.
You know, we're smart enough to know, you know, when to let something go and move forward.
Let me ask you a question. As you look back during your, we'll call it, on-the-job training, what worked and what didn't, and what would you have done differently if you were your dad?
Well, I can tell you, on-the-job training, here's the way my on-the-job training went. You know, so I graduated, you know, from the school, and then, you know, I'd worked a little for the moving company on and off, you know, when I wasn't doing sports because I wrestled in high school and played soccer and things like that. But it was pretty much hit the ground running, you know, and I will tell you, I was fortunate to be trained by a really sharp New York salesperson that had worked, he'd been working for our company. And, you know, he trained me. I'll never forget the first day on the job. You know, I was a young kid, fresh out of college, and, you know, I didn't really have a care in the world, and I showed up in a suit and no socks. It was hot out, and I thought it was cool, and that was wrong. he was a great mentor to me, and he showed me the ropes, but, you know, first I had to go home and put the socks on. You know, it was really challenging coming out of a school, you know, because here you are, you're out of college, and you don't even know how to communicate in the business world. I mean, it's a whole different language. Here I'm used to, you know, college slang. And, you know, I had to learn a whole, you know, another set of language skills to compete in the world. And you do. But I'd say the greatest skill I learned was to be a really good listener, you know. And the lessons my dad taught, you know, us, you know, growing up, just watching him and watching the way he did business and who he surrounded himself with. And really that's the, you know, it's a simple formula. Surround yourself with good people and good good things will happen. And that's what we've done. I haven't gotten into too much trouble in my life.
Well, you know, you said some interesting things there, Stephen. You know, you talked about adapting, you know, go home and get your socks. You talked about listening. All simple but critically important success skills that that I know I talk about when I work with clients or give presentations. But everybody thinks it's more complicated than that, and it really isn't. Sure, it's hard work, and you got to apply yourself, and you got to have good level of self-discipline. But at the end of the day, if you don't apply yourself, as you said, your work ethic and hard work, you're not going very far. But unfortunately, you're not going very far very fast. And you know, one of the things that I found interesting is how you and Keith found this all together, but. Getting back to the whole idea of having, you know, a family business, what advice would you give today to a business owner who's faced with preparing another generation to take over? And what would you advise them not to do besides what to do?
Well, I mean, it's really challenging. In fact, we have children that are somewhat in the business, but they're not. We've started a philanthropy, and we'll talk about that later. But I'll tell you, it's very challenging. You have to let kids today... I think they're either going to like the business that you're doing or they're not going to like it, but you cannot force them into the business. You'll regret it. As I've seen, you know, parents do it, and it's a horrible situation. It really is. It usually ends in disaster. The kid ends up leaving and, you know, or they just don't have a good relationship with their parents. But, no, you can't force a kid into a business that he doesn't want to come into. You have to let him avail the opportunity to them and then see if they want to. And you know what? Some take a little longer than others. You know, some go out there in the world and they get some real life training at other jobs and they see what it's like and they say, you know what, maybe my dad's position wouldn't be so bad. And they'll come in and then they realize that, wow, this is a good opportunity. And that's all I ever looked at, you know, from the business. And I tell my kids the same, you know, hey, here's an opportunity for you. You don't have to take it. You know, you can go and see what the rest of the world is like. But, you know, there's something to be said for running your own business. It's nice.
Yeah, no. And like you said, it's a choice. It comes down to a choice. And choices have consequences. And when people end up with not so good consequences, they complain about it. But at the end of the day, they were the one who made the choice. And some folks, you know, can't accept that, if you will. Stephen, we got about a minute before we go to break. Let me ask you a question. You think it's good advice to tell your child to go out and work somewhere else before they come and work with you?
Absolutely. You know what? I did a lot of different jobs before I came to work for my dad. Although I right out of college I came to work for him, I was working before that. I tried a lot of different things. And I said, you know what, this is a good opportunity. I'm going to go. But I would highly encourage that because then they can bring in different ideas, what other companies do and, you know, to your business. And we have a shining example of my nephew, Adam, who worked for another company and saw what we were doing, wanted to come give us a hand, and boom, now we have a great philanthropy that we're running, and it's nationwide, and, you know, so, yeah, I highly encourage that. I think it's great that they see other companies and how they operate, and then they can sometimes bring that to the fold.
Okay, well, we're getting close to a break here, so we've been talking to Stephen Lowy about... the trials and tribulations of a generational business. When we come back, we're going to talk about that philanthropy, Move for Hunger. So stay around, and we'll see you in a couple.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book. Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And we're back. I'm here with Stephen Lowy of Lowy's Moving Service. In the first segment, we were talking about the whole idea of hard work, work ethic, things one needs to do to be successful in planning a generational business, if you will. And Stephen gave some pretty good advice as to his trial by fire, so to speak, and learning as he went. Obviously, him and Keith were both very successful, and how they're approaching it with their children. For those of you who are looking for more information about this, remember, visit me at www.chrisruisi.com. And, of course, we want you to go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon and buy my book, Step Up and Play Big, How to Be Exceptional in 8 Simple Steps. And if you like it, write a review, but make sure you register your book when you do get it. So, Stephen, we're back. And let's talk about the philanthropy, Move for Hunger. Tell me how that came about and how Adam picked up the ball and ran with this.
Well, one of the most important lessons I've learned in my life is from my grandparents and my parents, and it's always to give back to your community. And, you know, personally, I've always been involved in many different philanthropies and fundraising activities, as well as my brother. And, you know, there's no greater feeling than helping people. I mean, I always say, you know, why else are we here, you know, on this planet? But we're here to help people. So 3 years ago, my brother and I are sitting in our office, and, you know, Keith says to me, you know, what if we give some of our residential clients a box on every move and tell them to put non-perishables, you know, that we could drop off at the food bank? And we're like, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. We could collect a lot of food every day for people in our community. And, you know, so that idea spawned, and, you know, food that most of the people are going to throw away anyway, you know, because we're moving them, and usually they just discard whatever food that they have, a non-perishable, before they move. So Move for Hunger was born, and within the first month we started collecting, I think about 300 pounds of food. And, you know, from there we said, well, geez, if we're doing this, why can't every mover in the country do this? And, you know, my nephew Adam was working for a marketing company at that time. He saw what we were doing, and he said, hey, I'd like to get involved with you guys. And he did. He came in, and he really took the bull by the horns, and he brought in social media. He raised so much awareness. And, you know, today we have 500 movers nationwide that are collecting on a daily basis. We collected over 3 million pounds of food. Adam has won multiple awards and grants, and it's self-sustaining. I mean, we actually helped him out the first year, but he is a totally self-sustaining 501c3. It's a great story, and it grows and grows every day. I mean, they're actually overtaking our office here. I think there's like 13 people here, and it's all volunteers. I mean, there's 3 or 4 people that are, you know, doing the daily, but the rest are volunteers coming in and helping. So there's not a lot of overhead to a business like this, you know, philanthropy. A lot of give back, yep. a lot of helping a lot of people all over the community.
How important is it for a business to be actively involved in its community?
It's paramount. I mean, it's, you know, people don't realize the more you give to your community, the more they give back. And it's just, you're being out there, you're helping people, and people want to help people that help them. And, you know, for me, it's a no-brainer. Like I said, I've been doing it for years, And I don't think twice about it. I'll give somebody the shirt off my back if it's going to help them. And it's just something that's been ingrained in me. I don't know any different. And I guess my wife, she'll get upset. Like, how can you do that? I'm like, well, how do you not? You know, like, you got to help people. And maybe sometimes, I guess, you know, some people think you're being taken advantage of. But that's, for me, that's okay. That's my choice. I want to help people. And that's what we do. I mean, it's that simple. But yeah, you can certainly benefit from anyone in their community that you're helping. You will. It's spreading the word, the great word, actually.
Yeah, with the clients that I work with, I always suggest and advise strongly, if you will, that they find something that's important to them, a passion, something that they can get behind, and do it. And that's the primary reason that you do it. But let me ask you the question that some out there are asking right now. What has it meant for your business? What has Move for Hunger meant for your business?
Well, you know what? When we started the business, we really, or the philanthropy, it was somewhat twofold. We really wanted to take the black eye off the industry. I mean, you know, for some reason, movers just don't get a fair shake out there. You know, we're usually the last guy in the building and blamed for everything and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? There's a lot of really good people out there and a lot of good movers. So when we started this, one of the secondary effects was, wow, the movers are helping people in their community. They're good people. And it's really helped, I think, our industry. And I can't tell you the outpouring, all the movers that want to get involved to help their community. They just didn't know how. I mean, all we're doing is really just bringing the food drive to the home. You know, most people want help. They just don't know how. So we enable this, you know, we give them a box and that's all they do. Just put the food in the box and we bring it right to the local food bank. So yeah, it's very simple.
So another simple concept that was implemented that didn't have to be complicated.
Yeah. And you know what? It really doesn't cost anybody much. Would it cost us a box? Well, you know, you
got some of those.
Realize. Yeah.
You got plenty of those sitting around.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we've had national exposure. I mean, we've been on ABC and award shows and all this stuff, and I never thought, you know, that would happen. But Adam is just, like I said, he took it to a whole nother level, and it's just a benefit that you get, you know. We're helping a lot of people.
I gave a presentation back in September which benefited Move for Hunger for a realty
Correct.
Group. Okay, let's switch to leadership here, one of my favorite topics, one that I might give myself a high five on. Stephen, what kind of leader are you? Or you and Keith, what kind of leaders are you?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, the only way I can explain it, and maybe it's something that's innate. I have this, and Keith does as well, we have this innate ability to, I see a problem and fix it. And, you know, a lot of people, they can see the problems, but they don't know how to fix it, or some never see the problem and they just go down. But we can see a problem or a niche and either fix it or exploit it and make it grow. And we're really good at starting things. You know, we're not here to take over the world. We don't want to. But if we see there's an issue and, you know, through our experience, we know we can fix it, we'll do it. And that's really that's how we started all that. I mean, 9 startup businesses and now 10. I mean, just seeing a niche out there and saying, oh, I can do that a little better. And you don't even have to be the best, Chris, today. You just have to be good. You know, you have to be really good. And good leads to better and then best. And that, you know, that's the way you start a company. Because there's a lot of best out there already, you know, and it's tough to compete with them. But if you can brand yourself properly, you can fix, you know, and especially if you're fixing something that hasn't been done before.
Did you and Keith sit down one day at the very beginning of this journey and create a vision for the company, or was it something that you kind of evolved over time?
It started in the crib, okay? I mean, I don't know.
I can believe it. I can believe that. I really can.
He's my best friend and worst enemy. I mean, trust me, we've had our outs, but I will tell you, you know, together, we think the same. He finishes sentences for me. I do the same for him. When we go after something, you know, together, we're pretty unstoppable. I will say that we are. And you know what? We really haven't had much failure. Most of it's been success. And like I said, if something was going sideways, we say, okay, we can table that for now. And, you know, we're smart enough to see that, you don't let your passion take you down the wrong road. We've seen a lot of people do that, unfortunately.
Well, what I've learned over time, and I may have said this before, passion without focus is like an octopus on roller skates.
Yep.
And focus without passion is like trying to start a fire with wet wood. It flickers and then it goes out. But you raised an interesting point, which I want to pick up on. How do you and Keith share the duties of running the company? And you talked about this just a minute ago. How do you guys complement each other?
Well, the compliment thing is not always, there. It's for us, I don't have to speak it to him. I know it from him, it's something that we feel, and maybe again because we're identical twins. But certainly, we've done a lot of things together and been successful in a lot of things together. And, I always look at or focus on, just listening to him, and seeing how he's motivated, and I pick up on that, and we're both really positive people. I mean, that's important. You have to be positive. And you got to have integrity. That's one thing that he and I both have is, foremost is, you gotta have strong integrity and that people will believe in you or believe in your dream and I think that's really what's, motivated us being in business together. And, but we know it's intrinsic, Chris. I mean, like I said, when you're identical twin, like I said, I couldn't have a better partner. I really couldn't. I mean, I can't get away from him.
I gotcha. He came to your birthday party and vice versa.
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple of important things, Steve, in terms of believing in yourself, your ability to succeed, attitude, integrity. How have, again, people have this image of movers as these tough, burly guys. How has yours and Keith's style been able to motivate your team to succeed?
Well, like I said, our style is, I'm one of these guys, given man enough rope, he's either going to perform or he's going to hang himself. And most of the people perform for us. We pay them well. They're good people out there, and some people need a second chance, and you have to recognize that and give that to them, and you'll see there's so many really good people out there that want to work, and just don't know how to. But we see some people coming through our ranks here. Hey, it's not an easy industry, I can tell you that. I mean, try and find good people that want to carry a piano down three flights of stairs. That's not easy. But
yep.
But I always say it's a time bomb. If you want to go off, just drop something, but just do your job. Just do what you're supposed to do. We're paying you well to go out there and perform. And we help people, not just in work every day, but personally. We have an open door policy. They can come in, they can talk about anything. And we're friends with our employees, there is a line. I mean, yeah, but in a small business, you have to communicate with everyone, especially your employees. They're our hands and our eyes out there. So, we want to know what's going on.
So integrity, attitude, listen and communicate and believe are part of the recipe, if you will, for the Lowy family success. Is that correct?
Chris, you're a good listener.
That's what I'm supposed to do, come on. I got a great guy like you on the show. Steven, not everybody has the benefit of having an identical twin as their partner. So what advice, what's the one thing you would tell somebody who's out there who has a partner as to what they should do to work effectively with them?
I've been in other partnerships besides, my brother. And
yep.
Trust is paramount. I mean, that's really what it comes down to is trust. And you have to communicate with your partner on every level. And you know what? You're not going to see things the same way that they may see things sometimes, but you have to trust that they're going to make the right decisions, in whatever they're doing. And, a lot of partnerships fail. I don't know what the percentage is, but, and I know there's a lot of small businesses out there in this country, like 23 million or something like that. And, a lot have partners and partners, it's a constant complaint, I'll say. I do hear it. But I know that if you trust them and they trust you and you're open and honest, well, usually things will work out.
Alrighty. So on that note of trust, we're going to take a break now and we'll be right back and we're going to get into the serial entrepreneur story of Stephen Lowy and his brother Keith. We'll be right back.
it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big. Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting chrisruisi.com and clicking the book.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Well, we're back, and that was a great segment right before this. I did give myself a couple of high fives. That last segment, we talked about, you know, leadership in a family business, or just leadership in a business, and Stephen gave us six very important points. First is believing in yourself and your team, your attitude, having high integrity, your ability to communicate, which includes listening, building and maintaining trust, and most importantly, always surround yourself with good people. And again, for those of you want more information on how to step up and play big, feel free to go to my website, chrisruisi.com. And if you do go there, I'd like you to think about signing up for my Monday morning wake-up call. It's right there on the home page. And every Monday morning by 7:15, 7:30 in the morning, you have in your inbox a short, brief email from me on a particular point, whether it be delegation, preparing to be your best, or being your best. And again, if you don't like it, you can always opt out, but I'd be surprised if you don't, because there's relative and relevant information in there that allow you to step up and play big. So, Stephen, we're back, and you've done a great job thus far. We're going to talk about now your role as an expanded entrepreneur. Clearly, when you and your brother Keith got in the business, you became entrepreneurs. But you've taken it to a whole different level. And as I think I saw on your bio, you guys have been involved in five or six or seven other companies completely unrelated to the moving business. So let me ask you a question. When did you first get the bug to expand and experiment with other businesses?
Well, in 1984, my brother and a friend, we started our first company together. And if you can imagine, it was called The Empty Warehouse. Okay. And the business model was pretty simple. We had like an 800 number, and, you know, people could call in, and we were basically shopping. We were a wholesale shopper for home furniture or outdoor goods. So people will call, they give us a make and model number, we do the research and save them like between 30 and 50% on the sale, and then charge them a 10% fee. And, you know, we built a lot of relationships with the manufacturers and ran the business for a couple of years, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, we learned a great deal on how to shop and save. And, you know, now you can do that on the internet. So, but in 1984, you really couldn't do that. So we were enabling that for people. And, that was a fun little business to start. And that's kind of where we got the bug. And then, you know, we ran that for 2 years, and then quickly after that, we started another company called the National Scholastic Storage Plan. And that basically, in fact, I think I still have the flyer, but it was a program for college students designed to give their parents a solution for packing and moving and storing their bikes, electronics, and things like that, their belongings over the summer break. So we built relationships with local colleges, you know, for summer storage. And it was win-win. The schools win, the parents win, you know, but it was a lot of work and, you know, there wasn't enough money in it. So, you know, with that ended quickly.
But, well, let me ask you a question.
And all the while, we're learning, you know, and also you got to realize we're working and we're growing our family business. You know, we're getting up at 4:30 in the morning, you know, working on the startup. Then we change hats 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're working at, you know, the Lowy's Moving Service. And then, you know, from 6 to 10 at night, we're on the startup. So it was fun. It was exciting. You know, my brother and I shared the same passion for, you know, starting something. But our next venture.
Before you go to the next one, Stephen, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Based on that schedule, what you told me, clearly planning, personal organization, self-discipline, the whole idea of making decisions was critically important to be successful. Not just you expected to have wealth beyond your imagination because you started
another. No, but we learned risk-taking. I mean, that was really what we did.
Learning
how to take the risk. You know,
well, let me ask you a question then. Let's jump on that. How important is risk-taking and the ability to make decisions on incomplete or imperfect information to what you are trying to do?
Well, the beauty about risk-taking is, you know, you have to assume, if you assume that you're going to fail, that's okay. You have to know that it's okay to fail, okay? But you also have to know that if you make a decision, it's also okay to make another decision if you do fail, meaning a lot of people will fail and then that's it, or they're afraid to make that decision to move forward. You know, they get frozen by this, you know, fear, I guess. And to us, well, we were just doing it. We're like, yeah, let's do it. And Chris, nobody gave us a dime. My parents, they weren't backing us on it. We were like, okay, we'd earn some money at Lowy's and then start this company. And we were kind of doing it on the fly. I mean, there's not a business that we started that we went to a bank and said, can we get a loan or that? No. Literally, it started with an idea and over a piece of pizza and some Coke or something like that and beer. And we just started going with it. Every business started like that. And, you know, it was fun. You know, I think that's really what you have to keep in mind is, you know, anybody can start a company, but to maintain it, for us, it had to be fun. You know, we had to like what we were doing, you know. You know, and then, you know, so then we kept doing this, you know, and next was the Halo Network Management. And that was a pretty cool run, I got to tell you. That was our biggest success.
Okay.
We didn't know anything about the technology industry, nothing. I love technology, but I didn't know anything about it. And we had a good friend who worked for a major corporation. He was going around setting up data centers all over the country. And we thought to ourselves, well, wow, if we could offer our existing client base a new service or a product, it's easier in getting going out there and finding a new client. So that's what, you know, Lowy's, we're moving people. And every time you move somebody, you know, they need technology service, meaning wiring or networking or their computers. So we thought, well, yeah, let's offer network services to our existing, you know, commercial moving clients. No problem, right? So then we had to be believable, okay, because what do movers know about, you know, technology? These guys are movers. They don't. Now they're going to bang the computers around. So, like I said, a friend of ours was working. He was setting up data centers all over the country, and he didn't he wasn't really happy with his job, but he was afraid to, you know, I think he was afraid to get to go and ask for a raise. So we said, no, you got to go do it, you know, like, because he was our friend, and we wanted him to make more money. And then we said, if you don't get the raise, you're coming to work for us. So we gave him like a backstop. And he went in and he asked for the raise and they said, yeah, you know, we'll give you $5,000 more or something like that. This guy was so underpaid and undervalued in his company. Well, and he worked for a major corporation. So he quit his job. And the next week we set up our company, Halo Network Management, and then the fun began. I mean, 2 weeks after that, the company that he quit, came back to us and offered us a consulting job for two years. They paid double his salary. Okay, they couldn't print a check without this guy. So now he's working for us, and, you know, and we start to build the company. And, you know, within 4 years, we built the company up to, you know, $3 million a year business, and we have 15 network engineers, and we're selling technology and computer and networking services. And it was a lot of fun, you know, I mean, all the while. And then along came a publicly traded company, and they were buying market share, and they bought our company for stock valued at, I think it was like $3 at the time. The company soared to like $30, and you know, we were locked in for a year, then the bubble hit, the dot-com bubble hit. And, you know, but we got out, and we made, I think the stock at that time was like $15, so we went five times our money, and it was a really good run. And unfortunately, that company went bankrupt, like, you know, 8 months later. But, but it was a good ride.
They didn't have the Lowy brothers.
They did, but then they didn't. You're right.
But
we saw it coming. We kind of saw what was going on in the industry, and we had a 5-year plan for this business, and we executed it perfectly.
So, you know, what you're saying then, Stephen, is that you can't allow yourself to get so caught up in the forest by not being able to find or see the opportunities ahead as to when to make a move, either to expand or exit. You can't get that engrossed. Am I right?
No, you can't. Not when you're doing what we're doing. You know, starting companies and like I said, we're not here to take over the world. I don't want to do that. But I know we can start something and make it successful and go. And you have to have, like I said, you got to be diversified. You have to have, you know, to build assets that are going to continue, you know, down the road. And that's what we've always tried to do. It's like, okay, we built a company. Well, what are we going to do after we sell that company? What are we going to do with those profits? And you know, and that's the next story is like, okay, well, we sold our company and then we built an industrial park, you know, and now we have another asset that's making money. And that's really part of the game. You got to learn that. And you know what? It was all self-taught. I mean, literally, there's no book I read this in or my brother was all like, let's just try this, you know, and we did, you know, and all the while, Chris, we always hired really good people to support us. I mean, that's one thing
people.
I will say. Yeah, I mean, you have to have good people. We had a CFO that we hired that was working for the moving company, and we sent him to Stern Business College because we couldn't go. But the knowledge that he would bring back, and he stayed with us for 10 years. We did so many, you know, different mergers and acquisitions and built companies with this guy just because, you know, we had supported his efforts in sending him to, you know, grad school at Stern. And it was so well worth, you know, the money to support, not just to support him, but we were learning, you know, what he was learning. He would come back and then we'd just say, okay, let's try this and let's try that. And we did, you know, and it, all the while just making sure we had good people around us.
So what I just heard you tell me, and this is a key point for everybody out there listening, if you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, you've got to be prepared to invest in knowledge in yourself and in your people and then use that knowledge, because it doesn't matter how good your plan is. It only matters how well you execute it, and your plan is only executed correctly with the right people, with the right skills, attitude, and knowledge in place at that time. Is that fair, Stephen?
Chris, I couldn't have said it better. You're so good at translation.
Well, you know, No. I listen. I know you too well. Well, we're coming up on a minute before we take our next break. Stephen, let me ask you a question. Between, you know, when you decide to start a business, are you looking for something that, in terms of a market that you're not in, a niche that is, projected revenues, does it offer a successful strategy? Or is it more just, hey, that might be fun, I think we can do that?
Yeah, it's usually, I think that's fun, and I think we can do that, and we try to. It's just, you know what, Chris, I've learned in my life, I love trying different things. You know, whether it's reading or expanding my mind or physically trying a new sport or something like that, but just try something new and different. So many people are afraid to do that. They're just locked into, you know, they think that's all they can do. They're one-dimensional. And no, there's so many different things you can do in your life, and you just can't be afraid to try different things. And that's what we've done. I mean, literally. That's why we, you know, we try all these different types of businesses. None of them are related. I mean, but to us, it's like, well, I can do that. You know,
there's an
why
interesting
not?
Phrase. I can do that. Believing in yourself. Well, we're going to go to break now. We've had a great conversation with Stephen about what it takes to be a serial entrepreneur. We're going to come back and talk about some of Stephen's favorite endeavors, and stay around. This is going to get good. Thank you.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruiz coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting chrisruisi.com and clicking the book. Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Okay, we're back with Stephen Lowy here at Step Up and Play Big. And as you just heard, if you have a question, call in at 1-866-472-5790. Matt will be happy to get it over to me. And again, send me an email at chris@chrisruisi.com. We're here with Stephen Lowy, and we're having a good discussion of what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur. And as Stephen said, and as I've seen, it isn't written down in many books, but you, as I think Stephen said it best, you can't be afraid to try something. You can't be afraid to make a mistake and fail. What you've got to be able to do is to pick yourself up, learn from that experience, and move forward. So, Stephen, let's talk about one more of your past business involvements, and then I want to talk about Real Game, your newest one.
All right, well, so, you know, we built this industrial park and things like that, and, you know, I think you know me, Chris, no grass really grows underneath our feet, and, you know, we had a tenant move out of that space, and it was about 10,000 square feet, and I'd been involved in kids' sports and soccer, and I told my brother, you know, why wait for the market to turn here? Like, we weren't getting any calls on the space, so I said, let's just throw down some AstroTurf and get a couple of goals and some bleachers, and we'll rent out the fields. We'll call turf trainers. And within 3 months, I got an online booking service, and you know, where a parent or a coach or a team could come in and rent a field 100 by 100 or 50 by 100, and there was no programming. I wanted to let the public dictate the field schedule. Within 2 months, we were totally booked, and within 4 months, we had the following year reserved for, you know, parents or teams that needed to play, you know, or practice, whether it be soccer, lacrosse, field hockey. They just needed a place to play. And yeah, that place was Turf Trainers, and we ran that for 2 years, and then another company came in and they bought it from us. And you know, they still lease today. So yeah, that was a fun little company startup, and literally we did that in 3 months.
So, now, Real Game. Yeah. Tell me how that one came about and what it is.
Chris, I'm 55 years old, and you know, like, I hunt and things like that, but I never got into bow hunting. And, you know, this past year, somebody said, yeah, you should pick up a bow and try it. So I tried it, and I love it. It's a lot of fun. It's a great sport. So I'm out there bow hunting. And the whole thing about bow hunting is you have to practice, you know, because you want to make an ethical shot and, you know, and you want to be good. So I'm practicing and practicing, and I'm like, well, this is weird because I'm practicing on a bullseye that I'm never going to see in the field. So I said to myself, well, wow, you know what? I think I can create something here that gives me the vision of what I'm going to be focusing on when I'm in the field. And I created this, I call it a target skin. So it's a, you know, it's basically a waterproof, durable skin that you can peel off and stick on your target. and it looks like a, you know, it's a realistic image of a buck or a doe or whatever you're going to be shooting at. It could be a turkey. And so I called up China, a couple places, had them bid out the work, and they sent me over some samples, and then I started making some calls here to see if there was any interest. And literally 2 months ago I started this company, and we're bringing it to fruition. I mean, we'll be out on the block, I believe, in another 3 weeks, and it's just fun, you know, to me, and it's something that I'm passionate about. And will I make some money on it? I think I will, because there's nothing like that in the industry, and it was all because I noticed a niche that, you know, that I thought, you know, could be filled. So, you know, I'm trying it.
Well, you know, what do they say about people who are successful or people who take a passion that they have and can figure out a way to make money from it? And again, you're the kind of guy, Stephen, that likes to do everything as in the best they can, not perfect, but the best way you can, because perfectionists tend to be procrastinators. They can never be good enough. So I know you're into hunting. I've seen the pictures and things of that nature, and you decided that there was a way to make money. So we wish you a lot of luck. Now, does Real Game have a website?
They do. It's realgametargets.com. And,
okay.
We have a new website coming out. I mean, it's out now, but the website, the secondary website, will be up and functioning, I think, in another day or two. But we're trying it, Chris. And you know, that's the whole thing. You got to try. And the worst thing for me is, okay, well, if it failed, I learned a pretty quick lesson on it. But I believe it's going to work. And we're going to try it. And you know, it's having fun. Like I said, you know, you got to have fun with things. Starting out, you got to focus. You know, it's really important to focus on getting it out, you know, and being passionate. But fun is what maintains it, I think.
Well, you may have mentioned it, but let me ask you one more question here. I know somebody out there is saying to himself or herself, I can do that. So you, as the guru of entrepreneurship, what one piece of advice would you tell them to do, and what would you tell them not to do to pursue successfully the path you and Keith have taken?
I think it's really important that, you know, whatever your vision is, that you clearly see where you want to be in the future, you know, and then you just kind of formulate some steps to get there. What does they say? Fail to plan to fail.
Yep.
If you don't have a roadmap, you will fail. I mean, you just will. So, you know, as much as I can talk openly about this stuff, there's always been, you know, a roadmap for me, you know, whether my brother was working or as I was working on it, but we always had a game plan and we always had an exit strategy. You know, we knew where we wanted to go with it and how long we wanted to go with it. And if something was, like I said, if something failed or didn't succeed, well, it's because we let it. We were smart enough to let it go and go on to the next one.
Okay. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up here today. And, you know, that's the whole idea of not being afraid to fail, the whole idea of wanting to try something. Stephen, you've been great today, and I really appreciate your advice. For those of you who want to know and more about this, Stephen, how's the best way for folks to get in touch with you, either email or through your webpage?
You can email me at Slowy, Slowy, at lowys.com. Or call me. You know, you can go anywhere, our Lowy's website. You can call from there or our Real Game. I also have a photography website, StephenLowyPhotography.com, something else that's my passion. So, yeah, I like trying a lot of different things. And feel free to call me anytime. I'm here to answer anyone's questions, especially in business. I'd love to be able to help somebody out.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, in my rant today, success based upon everything Stephen has told us. And what do successful people do? Well, they're always learning and looking for ways to acquire or build new skills. They expect to be successful. They start every day, every assignment, with a strong sense of self-belief. We talked about that and what they'll accomplish. They consistently do more than what others expect them to do. You're not going to be successful if you just do what you're supposed to do and no more. You've got to take that extra step, make that last call. Successful folks are driven in a healthy sense by their goals and their actions that they take to achieve them. They learn from their wins, and as Stephen's told us before so well, they learn from their mistakes. Mistakes are a great way to learn. They manage their priorities. rather than a to-do list. They always know what's important, what's going to move them forward. They don't make excuses. They take complete responsibility for their actions and outcomes. They own it. They're not distracted or discouraged by obstacles. They're always looking for a way forward. And last but not least, they have a vision. Maybe it's a work in progress, but they know when to keep moving forward. They have a path. They know how to fight off distractions. So I want to thank Stephen Lowy, my guest today. We are wrapping up here today. For more information on my book on how to step up and play big, be sure to visit chrisruisi.com. Sign up for my Monday morning wake-up call. I guarantee you that you will not be disappointed in the relevancy and the quality of the information you get. A big thank you for all who have helped me put this together. And again, my engineer today, Matt, he does a great job of making me sound good and for making this whole thing run very smoothly. And I want to thank you for listening in. I look forward to being with you all again next week. My guest next week will be Bill Erforth of Heroes Behind the Badge. We're going to be talking about courage, dedication, and sacrifice. So until next week, don't be afraid. Step up and play big. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into the show, Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week.